Well, good morning. I'm so glad you're with us this morning and glad you're joining us online as well. Welcome, welcome. Hey, one adjustment to those slides. The membership and baptism class starts at 5:15. 5:15, the membership and baptism class starts. Anybody know something big that happened in 1876? Something big that happened in 1876. I heard a couple. Go ahead. I heard. The one I had in mind is the Battle of Little Bighorn, also known as Custer's Last Stand. Anybody know what happened in 1861? So 15 years later, 1861. Anybody know what happened? Whatever. 15 years before. The Civil War, that's right. That's when the Civil War started. 20 years before that. You know what happened 20 years before that? This church was planted. The Lord has been faithful for a long time. There's been some ups and downs, but the Lord has been faithful for a long, long time. He's been faithful to this church. He's been faithful to you. You've had some ups and downs, but the Lord has been faithful. We're going to look at your life map. So I'd like you to be thinking about your life whenever you see this map. And I'll be talking about the life of Abraham. He's called Abram in this passage. Later on, his name will be changed to Abraham. But I'll be talking about his life. You be thinking about your life. And be thinking about different places in your life, but especially where you are right now, where you are in the map or the timeline right now. Like, what is God calling me to do right now in this spot in my life? I remember a couple of years ago, it was during lockdown. Anybody remember lockdown? And it was Easter Sunday morning. And Brendan was in the building. I think he did announcements that week. And I'm like, and I'm just thinking back, I'm like, what could we have possibly have had to announce? But man, announcements are a key part of the service, evidently. So I think he did announcements. And we had a sound guy here. And then we had Josh and Adam up in the booth. And that was it. There were no chairs. There was nothing. I just preached to the camera. Just felt like me and the camera and the Commons boys up there. And I got home and I was like, I don't even know where to put that. Like, I don't even know what to do with that. That was such a. And one of the questions I have is like, was I faithful during that season? How did I do during that season? This is a question I want you to answer and really ask, like, what is God calling me to be faithful to? What is he calling me to do right now? Right now. So middle school is a place on the map. High school is a place on the map. Your trade school, your college, place on the map. First marriage, place on the map. Children, place on the map. How is God calling you to be faithful right now at this spot in your timeline where you are now? What does faithfulness look like now? Before we look to the Lord in prayer, just say, like, what I want to focus on today is what's God calling you to do right now? And then the truth about God that we need in order to live faithfully right now. So we'll be looking at the life of Abraham as we go through. So let's pray before we jump in. Dear Heavenly Father, just ask you to sit with us and talk to us about how to be faithful right now to the call you have on each of our lives. We're in the season we're in. We can't go back. We can't go forward. We're right here. Lord, speak to us about right here and help us get to know you better. Lord, stand in front of me while I'm in front of them. Talk over me while I talk to them. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, starting, we're back up, get a running start at it here. Start in chapter 11, verse 27, and then we'll read all the way through the end of chapter 12. Now, these are the generations of Terah. Terah fathered Abram, that's our boy, Nahor, and Haran fathered Lot. Lot will be a key player in the story as we go. Haran died in the presence of his father Terah in the land of his kindred in Ur of the Chaldeans. And Abram and Nahor took wives, and the name of Abram's wife was Sarah. The name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, and the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Isha. Now Sarah was barren. She had no child. That will be a key point of tension over the next several chapters. A big problem to solve. Now Sarah was barren, had no child. Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, and the son of Abram's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go into the land of Canaan. So somehow I studied this passage, or have known of this passage, my whole life, and never really realized that Abraham's dad had decided to go to Canaan. So Canaan is this area over here, and of course the family starts here, and Abraham's dad gets them as far as Haran. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Abraham's dad got them a long ways. He got them halfway there. But God had called Abraham to finish the trip. Now, as I said, I'd like you to be thinking about your life. So as you think about your family of origin, how far did your dad get you? Where is God calling you to go next? Is he calling you to finish a trip? But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." Okay, so I'm going to wave my arms and say this as we go, because I'm going to come back to it later on. And that's when God calls you, it's always negative, like you're going to leave something behind, and it's always positive, you're going to move towards something new. You're going to leave where you are, go from, you're going to leave that behind, the old, and you're going to go towards the new. So when Jesus calls his disciples in Matthew chapter 4, it's come follow me. So they leave their nets and their boats, and they leave everything behind, and they go and they follow him. Also, see that God has the initiative here. God is the one who is active. Abraham's one job is to obey. God is the one who calls, and God is the one who says, "I am going to do this for you." So there's going to be five I wills. You can count them to check, but there's going to be five. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham did his one job. He obeyed. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. And when they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem. So if you're looking at a map, Ur is a real place. You can go there today. It's in Iraq. Haran is a real place. You can go there today. It's in Turkey. And Abraham travels all the way down here, and he goes to Shechem, which, of course, you can go there today as well, in Israel. And so here they are, and this is a place that I think Abraham would describe as being close to the Lord, because he builds two altars. God continues to talk to him, and he builds altars to the Lord. To the oak of Moreh, at the time the Canaanites were in the land. Question: will being close to the Lord at one time in your life protect you from disobedience and cowardice in another time of your life? Whoa. That was a no. Careful, yes. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. That's the first altar he'll build in this chapter. He'll also build a second one, because this is a time when he's close to the Lord. So you may be in a season where you're close to the Lord. You may be in a season when you're far from the Lord. But this is a season, and you need to remain close to the Lord, which is the point. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Second altar he builds. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. So he goes south into kind of a barren place on the map. And this is what I would describe as a very hard season in Abram's life. You may be going through a hard season in your life. You may be able to think back towards hard seasons in your life. Remember, what we're doing is we're going to look back at this and say, what can we learn about God that will help us be faithful to him when we feel close to him, when we're going through hard times, when he's calling us to do something new, whatever season we're in, what can we know for sure about God? That's going to be the big goal. And Abram journeyed on, going toward the Negev. Now there was a famine in the land. 2 weeks ago, even further ago than that, our dog started to limp. And Cheyenne said, I bet she has Crohn's disease. Lyme's disease. Yes, thank you. I bet she has Lyme's disease, because like 2 or 3 weeks earlier, she had had a tick. And we're like, you don't get Lyme's disease in 2 weeks. You know, like that takes a little while. And so she limps, and then she gets pink eye. And then Cheyenne is sure she has Lyme's disease. Now, by now, it's only been like a month. And then when the boys and I were gone, Cheyenne notices that Clemmy, every time she gets up, she just falls over. She's limping on her front leg, limping on her back leg, and she can't even walk anymore. Then Cheyenne tries to feed her like dog food out of a can. I don't know about you, but we don't buy our dog food out of a can. Like, our dogs eat dry dog food, because anyway, unless someone else is buying the dog food and really wants it. So Cheyenne is spoon feeding the dog at this point, and the dog won't eat. Now stress is radiating off Cheyenne like a nuclear reactor. And when you pet the dog, you can feel its ribs. So it goes from being 4.8 pounds to 4.2 pounds. And I'm telling you, it's stressful and it's scary. And so think of this. Now, there was a famine in the land. So this is like this little dog that really has no bearing, has a lot of bearing on our future. But it really doesn't have a lot of bearing on our future. Like, it's just a dog, right? Or it's one of our kids. I'm not sure. By the way, she's okay. She's on meds. She's okay. But imagine you're Abram, and you're looking at your cattle, and this is like your parents, their parents, their parents, like generational wealth in your herds. And now you can count the ribs on your cows and your sheep and your donkeys, and you're like, this is terrifying. This is our portfolio. Like, this is my kids' inheritance that I don't have yet, but hopefully I will someday. Like, this is their inheritance. This is all the wealth we'll ever have, and it's dying. Like, you should feel stressed and nervous when you read, now there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, and for the famine was severe in the land. And when he was about to enter Egypt, hey, did he stop and pray before he went to Egypt? Did he build an altar like he had earlier? When he was about to enter Egypt, this is an incredible act of bravery. You guys are going to like Abram so much after this. You're laughing because you know the story. If you don't know the story, you're like, well, maybe I will. I don't know. When he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you're a woman beautiful in appearance. Okay, good start. Good start. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Okay. Still okay? Then they will kill me, but they will let you live. Say you are my sister. Oh, not good. Gets worse. That it may go well with me because of you, that my life may be spared for your sake. Ooh. Abram just dropped off the cliff. When Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abram. And he had sheep and oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. Is that the last time Pharaoh and his house can be afflicted with plagues because of Israel? No, this is foreshadowing in some levels. So Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here is your wife, take her and go. And Pharaoh gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Hey, generations later, when people tell stories of Father Abraham, what will they tell about this season in Abram's life? They'll tell about the time he was a calculating coward, is what they'll tell. They'll tell about the time that he cared more about self-preservation than he did anything else. When you think of your life, where you are right now, you're living the story that people will tell about you someday. Did you hear that? Right now, you're living the story that your descendants, that your friends, that your family will tell about you someday. So what is it that you need to believe God to be found faithful right now? Well, number one, I think Abraham could cling to the idea that God had called him. Number one, God had called him. So look, you know, God calls Abram and promises to make him a great people. And Abram can look at his life and say, yes, but my wife is barren. She has no child. Remember I circled that for you? Or he could look at the land and say, well, the land isn't cooperating. There is a famine. Or he could look at his life and the way he lives and see that he is not a blessing to Egypt. Remember how God had promised in 12:3, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, because of his choices, Egypt was not blessed. They got great plagues. Abraham can look at his life and see how all the big promises, the really big promises of God, I'll make of you a great people. Well, there's a problem. My wife is barren. You'll have this land. Well, there's a problem. There's a famine. It's not cooperating. And all the nations of the earth be blessed because of you. Well, there's a problem. It's me. I'm a coward and I'm lying. Did any of that stop God? Say it out loud. Did any of that stop God? No. God still blessed him. God still called him. God saw all of these promises through. Look, you might look at your physical limitations. Think of Sarai being barren. Or you might think of physical limitations. You might think, there's no way I can be called. There's no way I can do what God is calling me to do. You might think of your life circumstances and think, there's no way I can do what God is calling me to do. Think of the famine in the land. You might think of your past and the stuff in your life that you deeply, deeply regret, the stories that people are telling about you. Think of Abraham lying about his wife, playing the coward in Egypt, and think, there's no way God can use me or do that I can do what he's calling me to do. And I'd say, you are dead wrong, because God is big and strong and good and wise, and he can do what he wants through you. It is God who calls. Jesus calls the disciples in Matthew chapter 4 and says, come follow me, and I might be able to make you fishers of men. Is that what he said? Come on, you know your Bible, and I will, because I'm good at this. I will make you fishers of men. It's God who calls. It's God who blesses. So when Abraham is called, he doesn't have a lot of history with God. So I'm willing to cut Abram some slack, because he and God don't know a lot. Well, God knows a lot about him, but he doesn't know a lot about God. All he knows is God called him, and God made him promises. He doesn't have the history. Look, you and I don't have that excuse. We have a lot of history with God. We can read all of Abraham's life and say, oh, so that's how God is. God did show up, and God did keep all of his promises. In spite of all the obstacles, God still kept all of his promises to Abram, who became Abraham. Like, God did all of it. We can look back and see how God had the conversation with Abraham about how he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and then how God did follow through. And we'll say, okay, well, that's what God is like. He does follow through. He's not kidding when he tells you he's going to do something. We can look back and see how God brought his people down into Egypt, and then how God brought them out of Egypt in the Exodus, how God gave them the promised land, how God let them flourish and grew them in the promised land, how they were adulterous towards him, and how he brought them into exile and then brought them out of exile. We have a lot of history with God, and that's before the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great God of Mount Sinai, who thundered and scares the daylights out of people, came himself in the person of Jesus, became a tiny little baby, grew up as a servant, and died on the cross for our sins, rose again on the third day, shares himself with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, promises to return again and make all things new. We have history with God that Abram didn't have. You know God has blessed you, if you know your book. And when you look back on your life, you can see how God has blessed you and preserved you. Maybe through generations. God calls, God blesses, and God preserves. So in spite of Abram, it's so good that when you see Abram being a calculating coward, that when you see him being a self-preserving narcissist, all of this is really about me. Don't you see it's okay if they take you and put you in the harem as long as I'm safe? You're going, are you crazy? Could God have not done any better than this guy? He calls who he wants. And we're all sinful. And a lot of us, you know, you could say you'd do it different, but when you get under pressure, you don't know how you're going to act until you're under pressure. And I'm just glad. God, the story isn't, you know, we get to the end of chapter 12 and the Lord's like, okay, I'm going to find somebody else. Like, I know I can do better than this. It won't be that hard. Lot, how about we start? Oh, no, that's not going to work either. Like, I'm glad that God doesn't give up on Abram. Because he does. If he didn't give up on Abram, he's not going to give up on you. Not going to give up on me. Now, so I also wanted to say here, when Abram comes out of Egypt, he actually comes out better off financially, just like the children of Israel. When they come out of Egypt, they're going to come out ahead, actually ahead financially. But look, it doesn't mean there aren't consequences for our sin, or that Abram doesn't suffer consequences for his actions. Because, you know why? Because Abram will tell this same lie, she's my sister, again in Genesis chapter 20. Like, you tell the lie one time, it's easier to tell it the second time. And then his son, Abram's son Isaac, you know, he'll tell the same lie in Genesis 26 about his wife. He'll repeat the same lie that Abraham told twice. Like, Abram set, or at least maintained or something, a generational pattern that kept alive. Like, it'd be a good thing to die and be left behind us, but it's still there in Isaac. And then Isaac, right after he lies about his wife, Rebekah, she coaches Jacob on how to lie to Isaac to get Esau's birthright. So, you know, you get, like, they are kissing close in a tent, and Jacob and his dad Isaac, and Jacob is lying straight up to his face about, yeah, I'm Esau, of course I am, because his mom had coached him how to lie. Like, she got deceit going, or Abram got deceit going, Isaac maintained it, kind of modeled it, and then Rebekah keeps it going. And so Jacob lies to Isaac. And then you know what you read later on? As Jacob grows up and has a family, he has favorites too. That's another key theme that runs throughout the book of Genesis, is favorites. And Jacob has a favorite, and the brothers hate it. And so they sell Joseph, which was one of the favorites, off into slavery. And then they kill this animal, and they cover blood on the coat, and they bring it to Jacob, and they say, hey, do you know whose coat this is? We don't know whose coat this is. Do you know whose coat this is? And of course, it's a coat of many colors. There's only one coat like it. See, they lie to him just like their dad lied to his dad. And that lie was preceded by a lie about his wife, that his wife had coached him on it. Like, do you see how, like, he maintains this lying theme, that it gets this started and it kind of goes from one generation to the next? God will preserve you. That's what we see here. That's what we see in chapter 12. You see God's preservation of Abram. But I don't want you to think that sin doesn't have a consequence. He'll preserve you, but there are consequences for sin. He'll forgive you, but there are still consequences for sin. Here's what we've said. God called. God blessed. God preserves. So the question is, where are you on your life map, on your timeline right now? When you think of where you are, if middle school was a place on the map, and high school is a place on the map, and trade school is a place on the map, and getting married is a place on the map, and kids are a place on the map, and grandkids are a place on the map, and retirement is a place on the map. Where are you in this, and how could you be faithful to Jesus right now? What is he calling you to do right now? The fresh faith, fresh obedience, he's calling you into right now. What we said before is, every time God calls us, remember I stopped and I waved my arms and I said, you got to pay attention to this. He's calling you away from something, depart, and he's calling you towards something, follow me. What is he calling you to depart? What is he calling you into? So, why don't you close your eyes? Between you and God, what is he calling you out of? In this season, like right now, on this point in your map, what is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who came himself in the person of Jesus, what is that God calling you out of? What is he calling you into? Might be calling some of us out of a habit, into freedom, out of a relationship, into a closer relationship with him. Out of living out of fear and self-preservation and calculated narcissism, into a selfless giving. What's he calling you out of? What's he calling you into? Hey, if you'd like me to pray for you right now, that you just say, just pray that I have the courage to take this step. Would you just raise your hand? All right. Lord, I just pray for each one. You know what you're calling them out of and what you're calling them into. And Lord, I pray that you give them grace and courage and faith to take this next step of obedience. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.